Have you heard the latest from the Vatican? Probably not. What about the latest attack on religious faith in America? Oh, we've got that covered too, plus some stirring testimonies from our missionaries around the world.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, you didn't hear the news. You didn't hear the latest from the Vatican, huh? You probably heard it blasted all over the media last week that the Catholic Church is changing its views on homosexuality and cohabitation and a few other areas. But I guess you didn't hear when the official statements came forward saying quite the opposite. Yep. No surprise and not your fault. That's just what the media will and won't report. But you'll get the truth here, and you'll get the truth here as it happens on The Line of Fire, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Boy, my heart was warmed and stirred over the weekend. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, we heard from our fire missionaries from around the world, men, women, singles, families, young people, older people who are on the front lines, who are making a difference, who are bringing the message of Jesus to the lost, to the hurting, to the dying. Our team in the Philippines, that's where we have our biggest team in the world, but our team in the Philippines has begun working. We have a bunch of teams there, but one is really focusing on feeding the poor and the starving, caring for orphans, and combating human trafficking. And they're now encountering women who are so poor that in the hospitals they are selling their babies into human trafficking, into sex trafficking. So as they get a little older, and I don't mean when they're 15, I mean as little children, they'll be trafficked for sex. The team has now just been able to reach a two-year-old who they have gotten out of being sold into sex trafficking. 2 years old. By God's grace, we're on the front lines involved. To read more about it, and you're going to hear from some of our missionaries shortly, but to read more about it, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest blog. Also from my latest article, Did Jesus Call Us to Be Relevant? I have some what I think will be useful interaction with some comments by Pastor Brian Houston from Hillsong. He made a further comment after his initial comments brought a lot of concern in the church. Why did he seem to be avoiding the issue of homosexuality? He made a further statement saying, absolutely, we affirm what Scripture says. I'm paraphrasing. The writings of Paul are clear on this. The question is, how can we be relevant? And it's a good question. How can the church be relevant? In other words, speak in a language that the world understands. How can we be relevant without being compromised? How can we speak the truth and reach people that we want to reach without driving them away before they ever get near our message? But often, tragically, for any of us, being, quote, relevant can be the code word for being compromised. All right, so back to the Vatican. Cardinal George Pell, this report on LifeSiteNews.com, Cardinal George Pell, leading voice for Orthodoxy in the Synod of Bishops on the Family in Rome, has said that a small group of radicals has failed in their attempt to push the Synod to accept homosexuality, cohabitation, and other changes of Catholic moral teaching. He said, we're not going to give in to their secular agenda. We're not collapsing in a heap. We've got no intention of following those radical elements in all the Christian churches, including some of the Catholic churches in one or two countries, and going out of business. So the media, of course, reported initial discussion, and the Pope said, hey, we can't be afraid of discussion and new things. But overwhelmingly, they said, of course, we're not moving on any of these issues. How could we? On the flip side, about 85% of Catholic young people feel otherwise about this, meaning Catholic Church is going to have to reach the younger generation as well. We'll be right back with a stirring story from Nigeria. You don't want to miss this. A lot more to come.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, a little later in the broadcast, I'm going to share some exciting news about Let the Lion Roar, an eye-opening, important documentary. I want to talk to you about that. I want to tell you what happened this past Sunday and what's coming this next Sunday relative to Houston, Texas, and the pastors there. And also want to tell you about the latest assault on Christian liberty, religious freedom in the name of gay, quote, marriage. This is from Idaho. We'll get to that a little bit later in the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got several guests that are going to be joining me over the course of the next hour and a half. But first, a dear friend, Joanne Chinkers. Joanne and I first met a little over 20 years ago, about 23 years ago. Joanne's Jewish. She came to faith in Jesus many years ago. Well, but her roots weren't that deep. While sharing the gospel with a religious Jewish man, she ended up leaving Jesus, becoming a traditional Jew, an Orthodox Jew, living and working with ultra-Orthodox Jews in Brooklyn. She got involved in counter-missionary work, and she was very sharp and effective in what she was doing. God began to deal with her. Some questions stirred in her own heart. She joined counter-missionary Rabbi Tovia Singer for a debate I had with him, private in a Russian Jewish believer's home. I didn't even know we were having a debate on these issues. This was 91, and I was quite shaken by the truth of the gospel that night and the fact that it was clear that Rabbi Singer did not have answers to the verses we were raising. That put her back on a journey. She came back to Jesus, Yeshua, has been following faithfully now. How many years now, Joanne?
Well, you said 23, so I guess it's about 21.
Okay, so about 21 years faithfully following the Lord. She's had a heart for kids, for education, for kids with special educational needs. A few years back, went on a missions trip to Nigeria and has gone back there, basically sold everything she had, put her inheritance once her mother passed towards reaching these needy kids, and is serving in an amazing, courageous way as a single woman missionary in Nigeria. Joanne, welcome back to The Line of Fire.
Thank you.
Paint a picture for our listeners of what life is like in Nigeria. You work in a couple different places. So the roughest place physically, spiritually, where you work, paint a picture of that for us.
That would be Uja in Nasarawa State. It's one of the states that Boko Haram has vowed that they're going to take over. And I'll just give you a little picture of, I'll tell you one story. Can I tell you the Ezekiel story?
Please.
Okay, so it's a boy he's dear to my heart. I've known him since he's in first grade. I was cooking one night. Another boy came to me and said there's been an incident with Ezekiel. He's been bitten by a snake. I ran to him. He was holding an onion to drive off the poison and had a magic stone on his leg. And I said, we prayed, and I said, we need to get this boy to the hospital.
Well, so this is just traditional superstition, yes, and witchcraft, voodoo, just whatever's there.
Yes.
Okay.
So they said, well, there's no network, and I don't drive at night. I said, call. They called my driver. The phone call went through. He was there in 5 minutes. We had the boy in my car on the way to the hospital. We got to one hospital 30 minutes away. There was one doctor there.
One doctor. In the hospital.
And he said, it's not our most poisonous snake. This one's kind of like the cobra, but he needs antivenom. You need to take him to Abaji, which was another hour away. By this time it was...
So it had no antivenom in the hospital?
No, antivenom. So we, on our way to Abaji, a truck came at us with the lights blinking and the horn beeping, and my driver pulled over and he looked at me. He said, Mommy, the road's blocked. There's armed robbers. We can't go. What do we do? And I said, Lord, I have five people in the car. I can't risk their lives with armed robbers, and I've got one who needs antivenom. And I just felt at peace. I said, just wait. And about 5 minutes later, a car came by, another car came by. I said, stop the next car. And they did. And the roadblock had been cleared. We got him to the hospital, and he received his treatment, and he survived very well. But many people die in Uja because they cannot get to appropriate medical treatment.
So snake bites, what about women in childbirth?
Women in childbirth, we 1 week we lost three women and three babies in 1 week.
Mm. And you're not talking about a million people living there?
No.
And what about human sacrifice?
Unfortunately, that still exists, particularly during election time. They believe that the gods exchange power for blood. And depending on what part of a person is missing when the body is found, you really know which, whether it was a money ritual or whether it was a power ritual. But unfortunately, this is still occurring.
All right, and you're in a territory that's being threatened by Boko Haram, and where you've got a school. Is it 1 in 4 of the kids are Muslim?
That's actually not anymore. That's the other school in Kwara State. We only have 3 Muslim children in our school in Uja now because most of them have left. The place has been really become much more noticeably Muslim since I was there in 2010. You can't walk down the streets without seeing everybody in Muslim garb. You can't shop in the afternoon because everything's closed for mosque.
Wow. All right. And the environment that you're in, and one of the places where you live, there's basically no power?
That would be Uja. There's no electricity, no running water.
Okay. So that means also no air conditioning and not much protection from bugs and...
Correct.
Oh, okay. You're not 25 years old.
No.
It's not like you're just going out on an adventure, a little missions trip. You've basically thrown your life into this to help these kids. Why?
Because I believe that's God's call. I mean, God's call has been clear, and this would not have been necessarily the path that I would have chosen for myself, but God very clearly chose it for me. I went in 2008 as an exploration. I went in 2010 kind of on a dare to give 1 year. I went on 2012 just for a few weeks to follow up, and it was there that God gripped my heart and said, this is not a temporary thing. This is not a short-term missions trip. This is where you need to be.
All right. What are some of the rewards that you're getting to see?
I am seeing teachers saying things like, Sister Joanne, she changed my life. She taught me how to love. I'm seeing teachers grow in their skills to teach reading and to come to a revelation, as it would be, that they're teaching children, not curriculum, that it's actually their responsibility to elevate these kids and to see a community changed. I'm seeing children who were not reading at all beginning to understand, read, and write English, which is the national language, which is the only thing that will help them to know the Word of God and also to be successful in their environment.
And then you talk about if we can educate the kids, we can elevate the kids. What do you mean by that?
I mean that at this point, these children don't know anything other than what their eyes have seen. There is no television. There is no radio. There are no newspapers. They have no experience except the experience that they live in. And when we can give them an education, when we can demonstrate to them that there are other ways, when we can give them a language to function in that will allow them to go out of their village and begin to experience other things, when they can actually read the Word of God for themselves, rather than just having to believe what other people tell them about it, and those people are barely literate themselves, we can bring them into a deeper knowledge of God, and that is elevation.
Wow. Yeah, and it's the most foundational level of reaching people, reaching the children, laying foundation in the lives. They'll be changed forever. You recently had an incident that points to God being near when the few possessions you do have were vandalized. Tell us the story.
Well, it was evening and I couldn't figure out, I mean, I had bugs anyhow, but the place was swarming with insects. And then I was looking for my flashlight and I couldn't find it. I was looking for something else and I couldn't find it. And suddenly it struck me that things were missing. But it was night. I couldn't do anything about it. The next morning, we realized that although I had locked the main door, I didn't lock my bedroom door. And someone had cut a hole through the screen in the bathing area. And, you know, we found these great big muddy footprints in there. And that's how it happened.
All right. What was missing?
Everything that was on the table, including my purse, my makeup case, my Bible case, my computer case. Thank God I had the computer charging. I have a generator on at night. And we made a police report, and then I put out a word to the church, you know, I'll give a reward to anyone who finds it. And the bush was covered with people. But until that night, it was Sunday night, because Monday I was going to go to Abuja to renew try to get a new passport. Not looking forward to it, because that was just when they had done the bombing in Abuja and 400 people were killed.
Mm.
But all of a sudden, the pastor comes to me smiling. He says, look what I have. And I said, what happened? And the father came to me and explained that his 3 sons had chased the dog who was chasing the rabbit so they could have rabbit in their stew that night. and they'd run almost 2 kilometers up a mountain. The rabbit veered off, and they lost him. And when they turned around, they saw the Bible, which contained the passport, and the makeup case. I guess he figured, you know, I guess when he was running, he looked at things and threw down the stuff he didn't need.
Wow. So a rabbit hunt with a dog and kids, and there's your passport. Friends, I want to encourage you to stand with Joanne. She's going places most of us will never see in our lifetimes, let alone live there. And she's really given her life to educate and elevate little children in Nigeria. Go to Fire-International. It's Fire-International. And just write out Chinkers, C-H-I-N-K-E-R-S. Get behind Joanne. Make an eternal difference in the lives of these little ones.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When a lion roars, it's declaring its lordship over its territory. It's calling its lionesses to it. It's warning intruders that its dominion is not for sharing. It's anticipating the feast which is to come.
That's the voice of Derek Frank. And there is a compelling documentary that he has produced. It's called Let the Lion Roar. We are getting it out in a special package this week. It comes with a DVD, then it comes with a Blu-ray DVD, plus a paperback book, beautifully packaged, plus we're going to put it together with interviews that I'll be doing these coming days with Messianic Jewish leaders like Paul Wilbur, Jonathan Bernis, and Sid Roth. On the DVD, you'll also see folks like actress Stephen Baldwin and Kevin Sorbo appearing as part of the documentary. And it tells the story of what happened in church history and how wrong theology opened the door to anti-Semitism, and how the error that the church replaced Israel had disastrous effects. It's not just narrated, it's graphic. You'll watch, you'll see things unfold in front of you. It's compelling and it's riveting. It is being highly praised by many, both in the Messianic Jewish movement and in the larger church world as well. And our entire package, the DVD, the Blu-ray disc, the book, and the CD with special interviews only found here in Line of Fire, is $40 for the entire package. If you can help with more to help our outreach to the lost sheep of the House of Israel, please do. But give us a call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. The entire package is something you can only get through our ministry this week with the additional interviews. 1-800-278-9978, or right on my homepage, right at askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You'll see this special offer right on the home page. Okay, this past Sunday, I encourage pastors and leaders around America to raise their voices in solidarity with the pastors in Houston who have been told that they must turn over speeches, presentations, sermons, all communication with their congregation having anything to do with a number of issues, including homosexuality and gender identity. It is an extraordinary witch hunt. It is an inquisition, as the Alliance Defending Freedom has said. The Texas Attorney General has told them, cease and desist, rescind these subpoenas. And the city has said no. Again, this is driven ultimately by gay activist mayor, lesbian mayor, Anise Parker. I only mention those things because that's what this is about. In other words, if there was some other issue going on in the city that had nothing to do with homosexuality and gender identity, and Mayor Parker was on the wrong side of that, and it was completely unrelated to these issues, then that would not be part of the news. But this is part of the news. Joey, get clip number 7 ready. I'll jump in partway through the clip. But I asked pastors across America to address this. to address the issues lovingly and truthfully. Grace and truth go hand in hand. You have grace without truth, it's not the gospel. You have truth without grace, that's not the gospel. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Jesus came bringing a revelation of grace and truth. So we encourage pastors and leaders to address these issues across the country on Sunday in solidarity with Texas pastors. Texas pastors have said, don't mess with Texas pulpits, and want the nation to say, when you mess with Texas pulpits, you mess with all of our pulpits. And that's what we've encouraged. And the next Sunday, there'll be a major gathering with key leaders in Houston, all coming together, saying on that next Sunday, what is it, November 2nd, somewhere around there, or in 2 weeks, and there we'll all be saying, we are standing together. So I got an email note via Facebook today from Pastor Juan, a Lutheran pastor upstate New York, Syracuse, New York. And let's listen to some of what he had to say.
What should men and women of God who believe that Jesus is Lord do when their governments seek to suppress their God-given right to freedom of speech? Should we acquiesce to the demands of some in the government to silence the superior standards that we possess? Should we compromise for the sake of tranquility? Should we compromise the time-tested superior standards of the Judeo-Christian faith? Standards that recognize that there is a sovereign God above all. Standards that protect the institution of marriage and the family.
Good job, Pastor Rivera. Thanks for doing that. I'm sure there are many others who address these issues on Sunday. This is a great time to rally together for awakening. Pastor Chris Vallotton said this: we're not called to reflect our culture, we are called to transform it. Becoming darkness to be relevant to a world of immorality is not the pathway to progress, but the process to the cesspool of hopelessness. We must lovingly reach into the cesspool of society and dirty our hands with the souls of men as we pull them into the light of his extravagant grace. Speaking of the early church, Martin Luther King Jr. said, this is in his letter from a Birmingham jail, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. It was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. Friends, that is our calling, not to be a thermometer, not just to reflect what's happening around us, but to be a thermostat that transforms what's happening around us. That's how the gospel works. Now, look, we stand up for what's right, regardless of cost or consequence. We do what's right regardless of the direction that our society takes. But we do not, under any circumstances, water down the truth of the gospel with the idea of making it more relevant. We do not water down the reality of the cross in order to remove the offense of the cross. In fact, when we do that, rather than helping people, we hurt people. Rather than bringing salvation to them, we bring deception to them. And the fact is, Jesus said, if the world hated him, it would hate us too. I want to do everything in my power to be gracious, to be friendly, to be kind, to be honest, to be hardworking, to be an example of Jesus so that I'm not rejected for my foolishness. I'm not rejected for my carnality. However, if I'm rejected for identification with Jesus, so be it. So be it. Just as Jesus was rejected and mocked, and his followers have been through the centuries, so it will also happen to us. At that point, we rejoice.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to stir your heart today because a lot of times we look around at things that are all messed up and world around us messed up, and you think, what can I do? I'm just one person. We're just a family. What can we do? Well, you're going to hear from folks who have been doing it. And Dale in Atlanta, to answer your question, it is The Lion Roars. The Lion Roars is the name of the documentary, the DVD, Blu-ray book package that we're getting out this week. For more info, Dale, just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it right there on the homepage. The Lion Roars. Let the Lion Roar, actually. Let the Lion Roar. All right. I'm sitting here with some of our fire missionaries who have been in the UK now for over 9 years, Greg and Debbie Nissen. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right. How long, Greg, have you folks been there now?
Over 9.5 years, going on 10.
All right. And Debbie, how many kids do you have?
Three kids.
How old are those kids?
We have a son who's 13 and two daughters who are 7 and 10.
Okay. So you went over there with a little kid, a tiny kid, and yeah, had one born there since. Why the UK? I mean, you think of being a missionary, just talk to one of our missionaries who's in Nigeria. We talked to another who's in Northern Iraq, you know, but Greg, why the UK? I mean, what kind of needs are there in places like England?
Well, originally, the UK would never have been a mission field for me in my mind, but it was the stirring of the Lord and directing of the Lord to the United Kingdom. And I realized that once we moved there that there's so much hopelessness and darkness that it's a mission field. And there's a need there for the gospel, because the church is kind of gone into, how do you put it? It's just not there anymore.
Got it. All right, Debbie, in England in general, do you know, or say in your city, Crewe, where you work, what percentage of the people attend church regularly?
As from what we've heard, less than 1%.
In the city where you are?
In the city where we are.
All right, and do you know nationwide?
I've heard about 8% of the population attends church regularly.
Yeah, and that would be even higher than what I've heard. And then, of course, not all the churches are gospel-preaching churches.
No.
I mean, I don't know if this is accurate, but I've heard that more Muslims attend services in mosque on a Friday than Christians attend church services on Sunday, which could well be true given,
that's probably true,
given their level of devotion in the church world. Mm-hmm. And just paint a picture of Crewe. It's a lot of immigrants living there as well. Well, what about the hopelessness and the needs? Paint a picture of that.
Okay. Well, Crewe is, in our county, it's a town that's kind of looked down upon by the rest of the county. And there's a lot of broken homes, a lot of teen pregnancies, very young teens, as young as 13 with babies. A lot of drug and alcohol addiction, witchcraft, they have one of the highest debt problems in the UK as far as people with debt crisis. So a lot of hopelessness, a lot of young people involved in crime. And so,
all right. So when we come back, I want to find out what you actually do. I mean, what is a missionary family now living in England for years? And you've got permanent residency now?
Yes, we do.
Amazing. Right. So you've been there for years, graduated from the ministry school, go over to the UK. So when you hear what they do and the impact that they're having, you'll say to yourself, I could do that, or I could do something where I live, or God could give me some kind of creative ideas right where I am. Prepare to be encouraged. We'll be right back.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Great to be with you today. And we're speaking with some of our fire missionaries who are serving in Crewe, England. It's a town where they've been told 1% or less of the people there attend church with any regularity. And it doesn't even mean when they are going to a church service, they're hearing the gospel. Many parts of England you can go to, and you'll see buildings that used to be church buildings closed. Some have been turned into mosques. So England needs the gospel. England needs awakening. England needs missionaries. And Greg and Debbie Nissen, with their three kids, have been serving in England now for almost 10 years. Greg, you didn't have to learn a new language to go there, but British English still has differences from American English, doesn't it?
It does, and every now and then I get caught off guard with the new word, and I'm always saying, what does that mean?
You know, just reading a newspaper. You know, you read a newspaper in India or Nigeria where it come out in English, too, and you're like, I don't even get half of this. All right, so Greg, what do you actually do as a major part of your outreach, and how often do you do this?
Probably our main outreach is the free tea coffee outreach that we do in the town center, where we give out free tea coffee every week. We do that in two locations in Crewe, and it's just an opportunity. We set up a table, and people walking by in the town center come up to the table and get their free drinks, and it creates the opportunity to share the gospel.
But, I mean, you don't give them the drink until they pray the sinner's prayer first, right?
No. They don't have to pray anything. We are just befriending them and letting them know that.
But, I mean, you have people standing around the table yelling out the gospel and screaming, right?
None of that. We are just friends to the sinner, and we want them to know that there is hope, and that's why we're called Hope Church. And let them know that we're there for the community, and that we're there to, if they have any needs, that we want to reach out to those needs and minister to those needs, whatever way possible.
So you build a relationship with people by just being there.
That's right.
Weekend.
It's not a very complicated formula.
And you smile at people. Now, do you think they realize that you really care for them?
Some people, they give you the funny eye, like, what's this all about? And I think other people, yes, they do realize. And we have our regulars. They know that we care about them. They know that we love them and care for them and are there for them. And they come to our church quite often. So there is that sense of, yes, we know these people care about us.
Yeah. Debbie, are there other areas of outreach that your team or your family's been involved with?
Well, one of the things that the team does is they are able to go into the public high schools during the kids' lunch hour.
So even though it's so secular in so many ways, you can go into the public high schools.
Yes, it's an amazing opportunity. But they're allowed to go in, and they're allowed to give their testimony. They're allowed to tell the kids what the Bible says. Not so much preach at them, but just tell them, just share with them who Jesus is and what he did. And we have had kids that have, you know, a few kids that have gotten saved out of this, and kids come back every week.
Really? And are the schools there any darker than our schools in America? I know you've been out of the States for a while, but is it any worse there?
From what I've heard, I haven't been in the schools as much as Greg has, but I have worked in the schools here in America, and I would say it probably is worse.
Really? Yeah. So families listening, moms and dads listening, consider that. Greg, you've been out there fishing. Fishers of men, and just planting seeds.
Yes.
And
so,
do you do it when the weather is cold, too?
Yeah, we do it pretty much year-round, except for maybe when there's breaks. We go out there in the streets, and we share the gospel.
All right. You give out coffee and tea, of course, tea breaks, very big in England. Have you seen any fruit?
Yes, we have seen fruit, as a matter of fact. We have a number of guys, like I said earlier, that actually come to Hope Church and are part of Hope Church. And they feel like they're part of the family. It doesn't mean that they've necessarily given their life to the Lord yet, but there is one young man that gave his life to the Lord, and God has delivered him from quite a lot of things and is still delivering him and setting him free. So there is fruit, definitely.
Yeah. Tell me more about this fellow.
Well, this fellow has a past, or has had a past, we'll put it that way, of homosexuality, a past of suicidal tendencies, a past of mental illness, and He had come to our table around 2010, here and there, hit and miss. And then as time went on, he started coming more and more and more. And then he started joining up with the church and then being involved. And then he gave us, we went through what's called an Alpha course. Don't got time to explain that, but through the Alpha course, he gave his life to the Lord. And just about a year ago, he got baptized.
Really?
Yeah, and gave us, yeah.
And what's been happening in his life since then?
You know, when you get saved, it doesn't just all disappear, does it? So there's the challenges, and God has been working in his life. He's developed a life of prayer, but at the same time, he's had his battles, and he's got us as a family, Hope Church, to be there for him and to love him and to minister to him through those situations. And then more importantly, he's got Jesus. He's got Jesus. When we're not there, Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there to work and move in his life.
And when you shared yesterday morning at our fire service, you made the comment that when hurt meets hope,
that's right,
then the healing begins. And even the name of the congregation that you're part of, Hope Church,
yeah.
You're sending a message. What have you seen, Debbie, in the young people in terms of hopelessness? And when hope comes alive in their hearts, what happens to them?
When hope comes alive, I think as far as the young people, we've met so many kids that don't even know who Jesus is. They don't know the basic Bible stories or what Jesus did for us. And so I have seen a growth in the young people, and particularly the children, as they start to learn more about who Jesus is. And you can see that in them. There is more of a hope than what they, especially what they would have grown up into.
Yeah. And, you know, I spoke with Elliot and Crystal Morales, who are now working with Native Americans in South Dakota. And they were talking about the pervasive hopelessness there. And, of course, we all know that, the reservations and the tragedy of the situation there. And we understand the hopelessness in terms of nothing to live for and alcoholism and depression and suicide and on and on. Either of you can jump in here. Why so much hopelessness in the city of Crewe? In England, obviously hopelessness can happen anywhere to anyone without the gospel, but what contributes to the hopelessness there?
I think you got a lot of, you know, broken families. That's obviously contributes to it. Children that grow up without a father or a mother, that plays into it. Then there's the whole debt issue, which Crewe, next to London, is second in terms of holding debt. The UK as a whole owns 2/3 of Europe's debt. And so Crewe plays a big part in that. And then there's also the drugs, and then there's the alcohol, and then there's just the bitterness of heart that is in mankind, maybe because of where they grew up. They don't like Crewe. They don't like the place that they grew up in. We find that quite often in Crewe, that there's a lot of people that don't really have a positive view of the very place that they grew up in. And so these all kind of play into it. And of course, the church, I believe, lacking, not doing its part, can also play into that as well. So I don't want that.
Yeah. And what about lots of immigrants? What different countries are represented there?
Well, we have over 6,000 Polish people in Crewe that have come there from Poland to work. We also have a lot of other Eastern Europeans like Romania and Czech Republic, Latvia, Lithuania. Then we have a lot of Asian people. So we have some friends from Bangladesh. We have a couple that we know that's originally from Iran and Pakistan, Turkey, China, Thailand.
Got it.
East Timor.
It's very multicultural.
East Timor. All right. The island of East Timor. That's Indonesia, right?
Yeah.
Is there more openness with these immigrants to the gospel? What are you finding?
I think so. It's hard to know sometimes, but with us, we have a family that's kind of catty-cornered to where we live. They're a Bangladesh family, and they are very open in terms of our love for them, and often I'm known to make airport runs with their family, and they've invited us over for, you know, birthdays, and they've called out to us for help on certain circumstances or situations, and these things are just basically, in my mind, they're planting the gospel into the heart and life of these people.
So just, look, you're doing what anyone can do in that respect. You're saying, here we are, we're available, and we'll reach out. We'll show love. We'll give you tea and coffee on our nickel, and you need help, we'll help you, and this is just part of what we do as followers of Jesus. And it's not cheap to live there, is it?
No, it was really expensive when we first moved there because the exchange rate was 2 to 1. The exchange has gone down through the years, but it's still expensive to live there, and it's just not cheap to live in the UK. Whereas, you know, maybe someone living somewhere else, they can get by with $1,000 easily. For us, $1,000 would hardly foot the bill, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And you live simply, but you're there with three kids.
That's right.
on the front lines. Friends, get behind these missionaries. You say, I just don't know if I could do what they're doing. Well, you can help. You can pray for them. You can support them. If you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on latest blog, read the latest blog, and when you read it, you will read about the Nissens. You'll read about what they're doing in Crewe. Get behind them, stand together, and we'll make a difference. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So in Idaho, if you have not heard this, the Alliance Defending Freedom, the attorneys have filed a federal lawsuit and a motion for a temporary restraining order. This was as of Friday, to stop officials in, how do you pronounce it, Coeur d'Alene, forgive the wrong pronunciation, Idaho, from forcing two ordained Christian ministers to perform wedding ceremonies for same-sex couples. That's right. Headlines. Government tells Christian ministers perform same-sex weddings or face jail fines. Officials threaten to punish senior citizen couple, both ordained pastors, if they decline to officiate same-sex ceremonies. Now, this couple, in the past, no problem performing civil ceremonies or religious ceremonies or even ceremonies for people of other faiths, as long as it's marriage. Man and woman coming together. Sure. But if it's not marriage, if it's two men or two women, you can't force them to do it. The government says yes. Is anybody surprised? Not over here. Not over here. Not if you've been listening to the Line of Fire, you're not surprised. But let me say it again. The bullying will backfire. The bullying is backfiring. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to our friend, Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Michael, as usual, the Lord is using you as a voice to make sure that we are at the top of the curve when it comes to new things that are happening against us as we witness for Christ. I'm calling because there's a gentleman named Peter LaBarbera.
Yeah, he's Peter LaBarbera. He's a good friend of mine.
Okay, LaBarbera. Yeah, he's the president for Americans for Truth, and because he was on the campus of Regina University in Saskatchewan, saying that there are dangers of homosexuality. They charged him with mischief, but actually saying that he's bridling sinister hate towards homosexuals by saying, you know, things like homosexual health risks, you know, posting them. And I'm at the point where, like you, my prayer is that, you know, the pastors here will, like, take the scales off of their eyes and see that this is progressive. And I know that in your book you had mentioned these are the game points, these are the goals. And that homosexual manifesto that people can look up online, it tells people this is what we're going to do now, this is what I'm going to do next. And it's time, you know, that we do join the pastors in Houston and the couple in Idaho, because if we don't stand behind them, they're coming for us next.
Yes, yes. In fact, Peter LaBarbera is a friend of mine, and this weekend I'm scheduled to be in Chicago. So one of our friends listening in the greater Chicago area. And Saturday night is the banquet for Americans for Truth. They run on a shoestring budget, and Peter does this sacrificially, just speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth accurately. So, of course, he gets blasted for it. Peter was on the air to talk about these things with us. In fact, friends, if you go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and just type in LaBarbera, so L-A-B-A-R-B-E-R-A. That's L-A-B-A-R-B-E-R-A. Folks, you can listen to our interviews with Peter. First, there was an attempt to ban him from Canada, and he was participating in a pro-life conference. There was an attempt to ban him because he's spoken truthfully about homosexual practice and consequences related to it, especially among men. There was an attempt to ban him from Canada. Then he got in, and then he was at a campus doing what was perfectly legal with another leader there, and they were both arrested, hands behind their back, handcuffed and taken away for no legitimate reason. This is on a college campus, and students cheering as they were taken away. In other words, there is no tolerance for the other point of view. And thank you, Chaplain Viviano, for the call and for
Michael,
for the yes. Go ahead.
Let them know. Could you also can we share with them that now there is a extremely virulent new disease that's hitting the homosexual community, that this type of caution from pastors, from people, is important for them to know right now. They die within a few days. You familiar with that one? There's a new one out now that's hitting the homosexual community exclusively, and if they catch it, within a matter of a week, they die.
No, I haven't heard about that, but that's absolutely awful. If that's the case, we'll certainly look into it. Yeah, Matt, just see what you can find. But thank you for calling. Listen, you don't need to now, let's say this is accurate, start thundering, this is judgment for your sin. God is judging you like he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's not why Chaplain Viviana is saying it. Now is the time to reach out in love and say, friend, God has a better way. That God has, he didn't make a man to be with another man. That's why you have more health risks associated with it. Now's the time to reach out in love and compassion and meet people that are hurting. If this is all accurate, I don't say if simply because I haven't looked into it yet. I know Chaplain Viviana is a reliable source, but thank you for the call and for the information and for the kind words. So friends, a colleague, Joe Dallas, many of you know his ministry. He said the church missed a tremendous opportunity to reach out with compassion when the AIDS epidemic hit and there was terrible fear in the homosexual community. I can't imagine how intense the fear might have been, and what is the spreading disease and what's happening and why are they getting it and why are they dying. He said it was a tremendous opportunity to reach out with compassion to people in the midst of their need and hurt, which is what the gospel is all about. Instead, what really happened was the major message was, this is judgment from God. Let God sort out what's judgment, what's not. Let me say this, and there, you know, some say Ebola is judgment from God on America in general, and some, you know, everyone has ideas and theories, but let me say this plainly. What we do know is people are hurting, and we can reach them with the gospel. What we do know is people are lost and in fear, and we can reach them with the gospel. What we do know is that when families abandon people, that's when they need friends more than ever, and that's where we need to demonstrate true friendship and love God and our neighbor as our self. At the same time, we recognize what's happening in our society, and we recognize if we don't stand for what is right, no one will, and this is our moment. In the midst of all this, my focus never goes far from Israel. And this new documentary, Let the Lion Roar, you can get, when you order today, the DVD and the Blu-ray disc. So you may want to keep one, give one to a friend, and the book, and a CD with exclusive interviews with guests like Paul Wilbur, John Berners, Sid Roth, and others. This is an eye-opening resource, riveting, compelling, church history, anti-Semitism, and what God is going to do in the future. $40 postage paid for the entire package. All the discs, the book, everything. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, enough with making excuses and saying God could never use me because I'm not gifted enough. If you know Jesus and you have breath, God can use you. In fact, he wants to. Have you heard the latest from the Vatican? Probably not. What about the latest attack on religious faith in America? Oh, we've got that covered too. Plus, some stirring testimonies from our missionaries around the world.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I really like this. This was sent to me, a couple days ago on Facebook by Mary Ann. I won't give her full name, Mary Ann. And she said, here's my version of the Martin Niemöller quote as it applies to American light of the government overreach in Houston this week. First, they came for the schools and I did not speak out because I no longer had kids in schools. Then they came for the Tea Partiers and 1%ers and I did not speak out because I was not part of the Tea Party or the 1%. Then they came for the haters, and I did not speak out because I did not hate. Now they're coming for the church, and we must speak out, or we too will be gone. Now is the time to stand, to speak, to act. Now is the time to take the gospel to the front lines. Now is the time to stand boldly against government overreach. Now is the time, we've been saying for years, to reach out and resist. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. My appreciation to pastors and leaders in America who stood up this Sunday and who made clear that they are standing together with leaders, with pastors in Houston, Texas. If you missed my interview with Pastor Steve Riggle from Grace Community Chapel on Friday afternoon, please go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on latest video. You'll be able to listen to the interview there. In short, when you mess with what we're saying to the nation, what we're saying to the city of Houston, when you mess with Texas pulpits, you mess with all of us. For those who haven't been following what's happened in Texas and haven't read my articles and haven't listened to The Line of Fire, what have you been doing? Yes, horrific government overreach by the city of Houston. And when they were given a rebuke by the Attorney General of Texas saying cease and desist, these subpoenas against pastors calling for their sermons and speeches and presentations and communications with their congregations regarding issues including homosexuality and gender identity are complete overreach. And you've got no business doing this. It's a violation of their religious freedoms. And when the Alliance Defending Freedom took out a lawsuit against them saying cease and desist, what did they do? They removed the word sermons. So presentations, communiques, all still there. Just a complete joke in terms of what's being done. I've addressed it in writing. I've addressed Mayor Anise Parker and City Attorney David Feldman in writing. Read the articles by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on latest articles. You'll see a couple as you scroll down. My latest article just came out this morning. Did Jesus call us to be relevant? That follows on the footsteps of some controversy surrounding Hillsong Church, and thankfully a statement of clarification by Pastor Brian Houston, founder of Hillsong, in terms of saying that the writings of Paul are clear, and we hold to traditional Christian views regarding homosexual practice, all there. We're addressing it. We're talking about it. There will be a major national event with Christian leaders standing with the pastors in Houston. I think it's going to be November 2nd, Sunday, November 2nd. The bullying continues to backfire. Whole lot more to come your way. I want to tell you about a compelling, riveting documentary called Let the Lion Roar. And you're going to be encouraged as you hear from our fire missionaries again as they're serving on the front lines in America and around the world. Is there any hope for the homeless? Is there any hope for some drug addict, alcoholic living on the street? You're about to be encouraged. Stay with us.
Light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We are talking with some of our fire missionaries that have been in the States or in our city for our annual conference. This is our 15th annual missions conference. I was so stirred when I got home Saturday night from the meeting. Even though I was a little tired, I sat down by my computer, actually knelt down by the side of the bed with a laptop computer and wrote an article that I put up on our blog just about our grads and those who are part of Fire International who are going around the world making an amazing difference with the gospel. And if God can use them, God can use you. Their families, their singles, their folks in their 60s, even 70s, there are others, in their early 20s, their kids who've been born on the field and raised on the field, and now they're out preaching in other areas as well. So I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. 866-34-TRUTH. So if you want to read my story that I wrote Saturday night, which will encourage your heart, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, click on latest blog. I'm sitting now with Joel Crumpton. He's been on The Line of Fire with us before. And Joel, God hasn't sent you overseas. He sent you to the States. How long have you been preaching on the streets now, Joel?
Probably since, I'm guessing, the early 90s.
The early 90s. Did you have any fear to overcome or any issues like that, being on the streets or being rejected?
Absolutely. I remember when the Lord was dealing with me back in the 80s, and people would even tell me stories about seeing somebody laying in a pool of blood that had been in a gunfight in the streets of Atlanta, and that didn't help. But I just I was very intimidated by it. I was I wasn't an inner city kind of guy. I lived in the suburbs, which is a whole different atmosphere than downtown Atlanta. Mm. Inner city Atlanta is completely different.
So, like anybody else then, you had to overcome fear.
Oh, yeah.
How did you overcome it?
It was not easy. It took years. It took years of me
So, hang on. Did you not preach on the streets until you fully overcame it, or you preached through the fear?
I preached through the fear. I still do sometimes. I remember the first time I preached, I went to the downtown park in the brightest day I could find. Plenty of people walking around, so I wasn't as intimidated by the fact that it was a dangerous area. And I preached, and it was right in front of a big water fountain. Most of the people got up and walked away while I was preaching. It was my first time ever preaching. But one man stayed. He sat there on the side of the fountain, and when I finished, I walked over to him, and I said, "So what did you think of my message?" He goes, "No entiendo." he had no clue what I was saying.
The wrong language.
He was a Hispanic gentleman, so he didn't know what I was saying.
Oh, boy.
So it was a little disappointing at first.
Right. So you had to, I remember one time sitting down, I was waiting to catch a bus as a, maybe 17-year-old new believer. I was waiting to catch a bus, and there was a sweet old lady sitting there at the bus stop, and I felt to share the gospel with her, and suddenly I felt intimidated. I thought, wait, she's an old lady. She seems like a nice old lady, and suddenly I'm afraid. So the fear can be rational or irrational. All right, so by God's grace, you overcame it just by doing it over and over?
Doing it over and over. I would have to make myself go do it.
So do you think that works in other areas that I'm paralyzed by fear, doing a certain thing. I'm praying. Do you think it would help to just start to do it?
Absolutely. That's the only way you're going to overcome fear is to do the thing you're afraid of. And think about the consequences of, not so much the consequences of what could happen if I do this, but what will happen to this person if I don't do this.
Mm. And then if fear can paralyze, then it can take over more areas of life, potentially. In other words, the enemy knows if he pushes the fear button, we stop.
Right.
But say it again, that the way to overcome fear...
I had to focus not on myself and what people would think of me, but when I overcame fear was when I started thinking, these are immortal souls that Jesus died for. I can't keep this message to myself for fear of what people will think of me. And then I started just wondering, what will God think? What if I offend them? At first I thought, well, what if they get offended? And then I thought, well, if I don't obey God, God's going to get offended.
Yeah.
And I don't want to offend him.
And then on top of it, as you said, simply do the thing you're afraid of to overcome it. recent survey, 73% of born-again Christians said they feel a personal responsibility to share their faith, but only half of born-again Christians said that they actually shared the gospel at least once this past year to someone with different beliefs. So, and even that may be a generous figure of 52% doing it. And many would say, I know I should share the gospel, and never do.
That's right.
Years go by, never do. All right. You have worked with people that basically society says, forget about.
Exactly.
Homeless people.
Right.
And a lot of them are homeless because of drugs and alcohol, right?
A lot of them are, yes.
Okay. And basically, for many, it's been lifetime habits. And all you're going to do, this is what we think, basically all you're going to do is maybe a guy comes in, the long beard, the knotty hair, get the guy cleaned up, give him a shave, give him a nice hot meal, place to sleep. But, I mean, he's going to go back as a dog returns to his vomit. He's going back to his old lifestyle. That's what the world and society thinks. Why do you reach out to people like this?
Well, because, you know, Jesus said, in as much as you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And, you know, the Lord just let me know, he takes it personally how we treat these people. And, you know, I've met people on the street that are homeless that were once architects. Some of them were business owners. Some of them were executives. But they allowed themselves to get addicted to drugs or alcohol. And, of course, they lost their position, lost their family, lost their marriage, moved in with one of the kids sometimes, or moved in with their brother or their sister. And eventually they had to leave that one and go to another relative. And that usually takes about 5 or 6 years. And the next thing you know, they're living in their car until one day they come back to where their car was and it's gone.
And then they're on the street.
And then they're on the street. They're living under a bridge.
So we preach about the acharit, the final consequences of sin and righteousness. You look at that person laying in the gutter.
Yeah.
And if he could have seen that picture before he got high the first time, he never would have touched drugs. I know as we've had you on the air over the years, there are always testimonies because you're seeing Jesus heal people on the street. And then seeing them get saved and then watching them sometimes, you meet them months later, you don't know who they are because they look so different. What have you seen in front of your eyes, Jesus heal? You're just on the street. You don't have a big banner. You don't have a gospel crusade. You're not receiving offerings. You're there with people that society doesn't even care about, ministering to them, telling them the kingdom of God has come to them.
Right.
You preach Jesus. What have you seen in front of your own eyes?
I've seen about it. Everything you can imagine, Dr. Brown. I remember just a few weeks ago, we did a Saturday outreach. We weren't so much focused on the homeless. We were focused on just a general outreach in the streets of Atlanta near one of the large parks downtown, Woodruff Park. And I carry a big 10-foot cross, and it kind of draws people's attention to the gospel. And, you know, if somebody comes up to you and you've got a big cross, they're not going to be surprised when you bring up Jesus or the gospel. So they're asking for it.
Got it.
And so we found what I called a Holy Ghost hot spot, where first a woman came up and she was limping. She had crutches, and she had been run over by a car 4 years ago, and she was in bad shape. She had hardware all in her body. Her right arm was snapped. The bone in her upper right arm was snapped in two. Both of her legs' bones were snapped in two by the accident. She was run over. And her back had been had hardware in it. She was in a lot of pain and all through her body. And we just told her, listen, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you today. If you'll just let us take your hand, the power of God will go into you, and all that pain is going to leave you. You'll be able to move again. So she gave us her hand. She didn't know what to expect. But she was instantly, Dr. Brown, instantly and completely healed. All the pain left her. She could lift her arm up over her head, and she was shocked. Just a few minutes after that happened, I mean, she was bending over, she was walking. You would have never thought anything was wrong with her. But she had a huge scar on her arm to prove that she had been run over and had some serious surgery.
Wow.
But she fell on her knees right there, which she couldn't do that. She couldn't even kneel down before because of the pain. But she got down on her knees and surrendered her life to Jesus. Other people that saw what happened also came and surrendered their life to Jesus. I mean, it gives us a great opportunity and a platform to preach right there.
And when Jesus sent his disciples out, sometimes it was preach and heal. Sometimes it was heal and preach.
Exactly.
So you proclaim Jesus, you minister to the sick, and do you just tell them, ask Jesus in and they'll have a wonderful, happy life, or do you preach repentance?
Well, I preach repentance. And I tell them this, sometimes I'll take them through the commandments just to awaken their conscience. And once they've admitted that they've lied, that they've stolen things, that they've committed adultery or looked with lust and therefore committed adultery in their heart, I let them know that that's not really the problem. That's the fruit or the evidence of the real problem, which is the fact that they live for themselves. I tell them sin is living for yourself, and all that's the bad fruit. And, you know, a good tree can't bear evil fruit, and an evil tree can't bear good fruit. So I said, what you need to repent of is living for yourself, and then begin to live for Jesus for the rest of your life. That's what he died for, so that we no longer live for ourselves, but for him. And when they repent of that, then all the fruit is good. And that's when you see real life change. Just trying to get rid of the bad fruit is not going to work.
Yeah, friends, that's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus. That's the gospel of repentance and salvation and the free gift of forgiveness of sins. You say, well, if God's still healing, where is he healing? You know, most of the healings that are taking place are not taking place in front of a TV camera.
Exactly.
They're taking place on the streets, and God's using people like Joel. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I heard the roar. It was the roar of the Lord who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
That's the voice of Derek Frank. He narrates a compelling documentary, a riveting documentary about what happened in church history. How the church lost its true identity, how anti-Semitism crept in the name of Jesus, a horrific abusive use of the name of Jesus, how the church developed the idea that it had replaced Israel, how it opened the door to anti-Semitism, how the effects of that can be felt to this very day. It's dramatized. We have the DVD and the Blu-ray disc and the book. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And later in the week, in fact, next week as well, we're going to have special interviews with some of those who participated in this dramatic documentary, like Sid Roth and Jonathan Burness and Paul Wilbur and others. Actors like Kevin Sorbo and Stephen Baldwin also appear in this documentary. But before I tell you about that, I just want to take another moment with my friend and colleague, Joel Crumpton. Joel, there's such skepticism towards ministry and ministers in many parts of America. We've had more than our share of scandals. In 1989, I wrote that evangelist now means exploiter to people. You know, the big offerings on TV, the fancy lifestyles and all of this. And of course, for every bad apple, there are 100 or 1,000 good apples,
right,
who don't live like this and who are not making millions of dollars off the gospel and so on. But there you are. You're married for years. Your major vocation, I mean, you've done work, secular work as well to support yourself.
Right.
But your major vocation has been preaching on the streets, winning the lost, going after the homeless, the helpless, etc. What's your greatest reward?
To be honest with you, just knowing that one day I'm going to stand before Jesus. And I'm going to hear him say, well done. That's what I'm looking forward to. I don't want to, like one man said, Steve Hill used to say, I don't want a cardboard crown to cast at the feet of Jesus. I want something that's worthy of him.
And Joel, think of getting to meet in the world to come all these people who are there through your gospel witness.
Absolutely. That's it, Dr. Brown. That's really it.
You know, Joel, I've sat with several different missionaries over the days, and there have been a lot of eyes welling up with tears like yours just because of their love for the Lord and their love for lost and dying world. Joel, just speak from your heart to everyone listening. We've got people from all backgrounds, but to believers, to those who know the Lord, just speak to them for a minute about their own lives and how God can use them.
You know, if I'll be real honest with you, if God can use somebody like me, because I was the kid in high school, for instance, that was terrified to get in front of a class and give a book report. I would almost take a zero just so I wouldn't have to give a book report because I was terrified of standing in front of people and talking. But anybody can overcome fear if you focus not so much on yourself, but focus on the people that need Jesus, the people that need him. And you've got to, you know, when Jesus said, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me or you can't be my disciple, He didn't take up his cross because he had a sin problem. He took up his cross to save others. So that means self-denial is something we've got to do for the sake of those that Jesus died for. He left the job of the Great Commission to all of us, not just those who have full-time ministry. And if God can use me, I promise you, he can use you. And here's something I want to encourage you with. The Apostle Paul said, "You see your calling, brothers, how not many wise, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and weak things of this world to confound the mighty, and base things of this world, and things that are despised, and things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no one can boast before him." And think about this. When God starts using somebody like you, friend, because I know a lot of you listening to me are thinking, "I'm a nobody. I'm nobody special." Well, see, when God uses you, everybody will know that was God because they'll say, "Well, I know that guy and it couldn't have been him." They'll give God the glory. You won't get any credit for it. And that's what God's looking for. And you got to keep that mentality even after God starts using you. You got to maintain that attitude of, "I'm a nobody. I can't do this. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world."
And you just have regular physical hands, yet through those hands, God brings healing to the sick.
All the time, brother. All the time.
And then you tell them that's Jesus.
I tell them the kingdom of heaven has come to you. And a lot of times when they get healed, I tell them, your sins are forgiven. If you'll turn from them, surrender your life to Jesus, go and sin no more. Live for him.
Mm. Yeah, and sometimes just the presence of God touching someone, they realize what's going on.
Absolutely.
All right, friends, if God could use a former heroin-shooting, LSD-using, hippie, rebellious, proud rock drummer, if God could use me, if God could use Joel, fearful even stand up, give a book report, plus whatever other junk was in your life, God can use rednecks, God can use the highly educated, God can use anyone. Make yourselves available. And you know what? I think of a student of ours that was in our ministry school in Long Island in the 80s. And he had some ups and downs initially, then got really committed, got really strong, was moving forward. And then he ends up leading a little church, maybe like 30 people, on the east end of Long Island. And they wanted, there was a library or school that used its facilities for like a New Age thing. So he wanted to show a Dobson series on the family, and they were refused by the public building because it was religious. So this ended up going to the court. Well, it ended up going to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court decided 9-0 in their favor, and it opened things up nationally. And he was pastoring a church of like a handful of people. Just be obedient, friends. You never know what God will do. Okay. So let me just tell you more about Let the Lion Roar. I am really psyched about this, and we're going to do a little video explaining this more later today, and we'll post on our YouTube channel. But this is a documentary. Derek Frank is really kind of a compelling host. He tells the story of these visions he had years ago, and he couldn't understand or interpret, and the jarring revelation when he understood what they meant and what they were about, and how this directly impacted the church and the Jewish people, and how it's relevant to this very day. The documentary, it's dramatized, is called Let the Lion Roar. It will keep your attention from beginning to end. And we have a special package. You can only get this package through our ministry. It's the DVD and the Blu-ray disc. So you can keep one, give one away, depending on what equipment you have. The DVD, the Blu-ray disc, and the book by Derek Frank, Let the Lion Roar, plus exclusive interviews on CD that we'll be doing with Derek Frank, with Paul Wilbur, with John Burness, with others. And on the documentary, on the movie, there are folks like Kevin Sorbo and Stephen Baldwin who are involved with it, appear on it as well. It's just $40 for the entire package. Any additional gift would be greatly appreciated, but this helps us directly with our radio ministry, with our Jewish outreach. So call now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to find out more. You'll be blessed, and we're thrilled to get this into your hands.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I mentioned this in the first hour, but let me mention it again. Last week, major headline news, Catholic Church is softening its stance on homosexuality, Catholic Church making major changes, Catholic Church shifting, etc. And I read the reports, and the report itself was not a good report. It was accurate in some respects as far as discussion that was taking place within the Catholic Church, but it was not accurate in terms of a shift that had taken place. This was a document for discussion. It was overwhelmingly shot down by other leaders, and they made clear that it was, in their mind, a radical element trying to say that you could find positive value in cohabitation, positive value in homosexual relations. But even so, the attempt was to reach out to people where they were and try to find them where they were and then bring them to Jesus. That was ultimately the intent, not to say that certain things are not sinful or wrong. In any case, the overwhelming majority of bishops said, no way. Of course, we're not making these changes. Of course, we want to reach people, but not by lowering standards. So, of course, the first part you heard on the news. They're changing, they're shifting. The second part, they said, of course we're not. You didn't hear that too much, did you? That's why you got to listen regularly to the Line of Fire. I noticed during a break that someone posted on Facebook, have I seen a particular article having to do with a Christian couple, senior citizens in Idaho, who have been told by the government, unless you perform same-sex weddings in your wedding chapel, you'll face jail and fines. I was asked, had I seen that? I said, yeah, I already posted it and already talked about it on the radio. So we are keeping you on top of things here on the Line of Fire. A lot more to come. But first, I want to talk about missions. I want to talk to you about missions. I want to talk to you about going to the lost, and I'm joined by Andy Pricer. Hey, Andy, since we've got listeners all over Texas and other parts of the world where Spanish is spoken, why don't you just say a few words to our listeners in Spanish?
Está bien. Pues, ¿cómo están todos? Pues, Dios lo bendiga. Pues, disfrute este tiempo con nosotros aquí escuchando este radio. Dios lo bendiga.
All right. I picked up radio there and a couple other words. Andy, where were you born?
Abilene, Texas.
Abilene, Texas. Yes, all right. So that's the real accent. Did you grow up speaking Spanish?
No, not at all.
All right. How long have you been on the mission field now?
This past August makes 15 years.
15 years. All right. So serving in Mexico.
Yes, sir.
15 years with your wife and kids. How old are your kids now?
They are 22, 19, and Julia, my baby, is 18.
18. And what's she planning on doing?
Julia is, she's leaving us this year. We're going to experience empty nest. She's going to go with her brother and sister just for a few weeks and then come over here to Concord from January to May, more or less. And then I think head to Mozambique with Heidi Baker for a couple months in her school of ministry there.
Awesome. So she's got a heart for missions,
yes,
also.
Sir.
What is it that caused you to uproot your family, married with three kids, to uproot your family and go to Mexico?
Wow. The short answer is Jesus. I'm sure that all the missionaries will use that one. It's just something you feel, something you need to do. I was living what was called the American dream. I actually had my nursing degree, my cars, our first home we purchased, and then Revival Fire got me, set me on the right path, actually helped restore my marriage, helped me to love Jesus again. And it was just what the Lord had already birthed in me years before. He recalled me and says, hey, Andy, you've done all the things for you. Now, do you remember me? Do you remember your calling? And I did. And the fire really helped ignite that passion again just to go to the lost.
Yeah, so Andy, you and Karen and the kids were some of the very first we were able to send out grads from our ministry school and been doing an amazing work. We come back. I want to tell you some realities about Mexico, because some people have the idea that Mexico has already been evangelized.
Yes, sir.
In fact, let's talk about that one story when someone came to you with that word. We'll talk about what they're doing to get behind our missionaries. Friends, go to Fire-International, Fire-International. Type in Pricer to find out what Andy and Karen are doing in Mexico.
Fire we please, send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I came home Saturday night so stirred after our missions conference. We met with, heard from our missionaries Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning as they shared publicly as we help raise funds for them. And then there are numerous other times that we get to spend time together with them while they're here. I was so stirred, though, I just wrote a testimony of what happened that night, put it on my blog. To read it, and you'll be stirred, you'll be encouraged. No matter what your age, background, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest blog. I'm sitting with Andy Pricer and his wife Karen, been serving in Mexico for over 15 years now. I've learned the language, the culture. The idea that Mexico is evangelized is probably based on the fact that it's a professing Christian nation with a very strong Catholic background. Tell me first about the Catholicism of many of the Mexicans. Is it for them a living faith in the Bible and Jesus, or a lot of superstition and tradition?
A lot of tradition, basically. And actually what they're kind of creating is an unreached people group among themselves. Because of their tradition, a lot of the younger generation are deciding they don't want those things of their family, and they're no longer going to church. So there are very, very devout Catholics that they don't miss a single Mass, and then there's those that are just kind of fading away. So I think that brings, I think about 10 years ago, the percentage of Catholics was about 98%, and at last I read a few years back, it was about 93%, and about 6% evangelical.
Got it. And then what about the Mexican Indians and outlying jungle areas and things like that? Does that still exist with unreached peoples?
Definitely. And the deeper you get, there's a mix of Catholicism with paganism. We call it Cristo paganism.
Yeah.
And a lot of the original goddesses and gods of the people, they just kind of changed their names and gave them saintly names.
Got it. So. Got it. I understand. All right. Somebody comes down to work with your team once, do outreach, and they are... But they're asking why you're there, because Mexico's already evangelist. What happened on that trip?
It was a cute story. We had a team come down from Texas, and it was the missions pastor. And he had been to the border and done some mission trips before, but this was his first trip interior. And knowing it was predominantly Catholic, Christian-oriented, he asked me, how does it feel to be a missionary in an evangelized country? It almost seems like a waste of time. Why are you there? The people have heard, the people know. And I just kind of shook my head, oh, really? I didn't know the Lord was going to show us how unevangelized it was. We went into a Purépecha Indian village to do a building project for the people. We were going to paint their medical clinic for them and just really serve and love on the people with a service plan for that evening. We were going to see some more signs and wonders and healings that we've seen previously in that village. And as we're there, the town began to become very uncomfortable with us for some reason. Well, other than we're bringing the true gospel, they rose up against us. They began to pelt us with rocks. Before it was over, the army had to come out, or the local police had to come out with their M16s, their AK-47s, and help calm everything down. So they pelted us with rocks, gave us death threats, and actually burned our church down within a week.
Really? And you're sitting here smiling.
I'm sitting here smiling. I have kind of have a name that I gave for myself. It's called Danger Man. I live for those kind of things. The neatest part about that story, well, there's several aspects to it, is one of the head police, when he finally called me out, because I was kind of the leader of the Americans there, He started talking to me really in a very nice, apologetic type of way. I looked at him. I said, "You're a believer, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yes, I am." He goes, "I just want you to know we're praying for you. We appreciate what you do, but be careful."
Mm. What about the drug cartel? I mean, we hear the horror stories, and are they exaggerated?
Probably not even enough. I think a lot of the news is kept quiet with threats of things against the reporters, and even a lot of the reporters are paying for their reporting with their own lives. Our area of the country is really pretty quiet. It's always been known kind of as a cartel refuge because it's kind of like middle ground. There are a lot of cartel homes there where they come and they take refuge. Some of that is changing. There's a cartel group there called the New Generation Cartel of Jalisco that has merged with some other cartel leaders as well. And so there's a real shifting among the cartel, but there are some still very serious things happening in the country.
Mm. And have you ever had people close to you that have been touched or affected?
I'm very thankful. My family has never been directly affected. But we have had friends that have had family members kidnapped. We've had friends with family members that have been literally chopped to pieces with machetes. We've seen the stories. We've seen bodies on the side of the road. So it's there. It's real.
That doesn't cause you to leave and come back to the States?
It caused me to push into prayer more. Yeah. My belief is they need Jesus as much as anybody else.
Yeah. That's the gospel. Andy, someone wants to greet you. Andy from Dallas, Texas, you're speaking to Andy Pricer. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Pricer? I go to the refuge with your daughter and your son, and I just want to let you know that I've never personally met you, but I can tell you're a really great guy because you have two really great kids, and they really love God a lot, and they're really inspiration.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I look forward to seeing you here in a few weeks.
Oh, that's cool. You coming down?
Yes, sir. We'll be there November 1st, I believe, at the refuge.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see you then.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for the call and the good word. Yeah, that's sweet when someone's calling to tell you about how your kids are an inspiration.
Thank you very much.
So why don't you just announce it? This is in Dallas area?
In Dallas area, the refuge, Pastor Jeff Baldwin. It's on a Saturday night, I believe, at 7 p.m.
All right. So if you're listening in greater DFW, the refuge, Pastor Jeff Baldwin, you can hear Andy Pricer, 7 p.m. on a Saturday. So let's talk about this. A lot of people think, okay, I'm willing to go on the mission field, and God's preserved you, protected you. And when you said danger, man, you don't. When those things happen, trust me, I understand. I've been in life-threatening situations at times, and you realize you're made for this, to preach the gospel and stand. But you don't go looking for trouble. You use wisdom. But here, you get your whole family, right? What happens to kids who grew up on the mission field? Obviously, if the parents neglect the kids and cause the kids to have a lot of hardship and they don't receive love and affirmation, that's a massive problem. If you raise your kids right, you love Jesus, and you throw your kids right out in the front lines, because you minister as a family, yes?
Yes, sir.
Even you've done worship, led worship as a family. What happens to the kids?
I tell you, from day one, we've always incorporated our families, especially my kids. When I go up or we call people forward for prayer time, Hunter, when he was 3 and 4 years old, he's right there. We're laying hands on him and praying for people with daddy. So we've always played as a family, been as a family together. There are times if I'm going to go into a new village or a new work or do some hiking down the mountains, I go in by myself a lot of times, or with another group or another guy or another student of ours. We'll go and investigate, check out a place to see what it's really like, try out the food for my wife, and then I'll say, hey, this is a good place to go. This is like there's going to be some fruit in here. Let's go back, and then I'll bring the family back in.
Got it. So
we try to be smart. We'll use our brains as we can and trust the Lord for the rest.
But your kids have grown up understanding that Great Commission is lifestyle.
They've learned to be good troopers.
Yeah. So what have you been able to see now in terms of lasting fruit after 15 years? Just give me a couple of highlights.
Wow. Some passionate people. We just had our third year graduation from our Supernatural School of Ministry. Our first and second year together, we graduated about 42.
Tremendous.
We have many of them that are wanting to go into missions work themselves, many that are involved in ministry. We've had several pastors and leaders from the city that have been part of our school that their churches are now on fire and passionate about doing the things of the Lord. One of our graduates from our second year program just started a church. We call it the Church of the Cholos, or the Gangster Church. And she's in an area that just desperately needs the Lord. And these gangsters are just getting saved with their tattoos and their bandanas and just going after heaven. And they're rappers in the secular world, so they've turned it around, and now they're rapping for the Lord. And it's absolutely incredible, the passion that they have.
That's amazing. I would love to see that face-to-face. Amazing. And take the snapshot, the before and after. And are there needs, just like kids, orphans, food needs, you know, practical things that you're able to get involved with as well?
Absolutely. We actually do a Saturday morning kids feeding program at our main church. We feed about between 75 to 100 kids every Saturday, with a goal of starting a daily feeding program for lunch for them as well. We're in it's called the Wisacheta, in a real poor part area of Guadalajara, with lots of need. A lot of the kids go to school in the mornings without getting food, so we'd really like to get some food in them, just to help them just to be able to study better, stay focused better, and just have an overall better life.
Awesome. And if you could say one thing to folks living in America, we got 1 minute, what would you say to my listeners right now?
Do the stuff right where you are. I know Joel Crumpton was just on from Atlanta. Just wherever you are, just take the part of the kingdom that the Lord has given you, the Father has trusted you with. Look for those, dig deep for those talents that he's trusted you with, and just use them. There's needs everywhere you go, whether it's in the mall or at the restaurant. Just go for it. Look for opportunities to release heaven.
Awesome. All right, friends. If God has put his Spirit within you, you have something to give. If God has saved you, you have something to share. If God has forgiven you from your sins and others are just waiting to hear the good news, how can you not tell them? Remember, it's just regular people, human vessels with weaknesses and blemishes, but yield it to the Lord who said, "Here I am, send me, use me." And God will, wherever you live, God will use you to make a difference. Andy, it's awesome to watch you and Karen and the family over these years, and we're thrilled to call you part of the family.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Joey, get clip number three ready. I want you to hear what my friend Sid Roth has to say about the documentary Let the Lion Roar. You know, when I started watching it, I was watching the host, and that was narrating things, and I thought, he's kind of an interesting host. And then the next thing, I was kind of riveted. Next thing, wow. And then going in further, and then almost like, okay, what's behind this door, and what's about to be revealed? And it's dramatized, as I mentioned earlier, folks like Kevin Sorbo and Stephen Baldwin, well-known actors, are on it as well. Some known for their Christian testimony, of course. And Kevin Sorbo's in God's Not Dead movie. Folks like Paul Wilbur and others sharing. They appear. You can almost say literally appear on the documentary. Derek Frank wrote the book that goes along with this, and it's just. It's really compelling. I'll tell you more about it in a little while, but it has to do with anti-Semitism in church history, how the church lost its identity, how this has unfolded through history, and what God is ultimately going to do as the lion does roar. Let's listen to what Sid Roth says.
A lot of people think the reason there's been so much anti-Semitism in the church for the past 2,000 years is because Jesus came through the Jewish people. And the devil's upset with the Jewish people because Jesus came. Well, they're partially correct, but there's something much more at stake. You see, according to Amos, the 9th chapter, God says in the last days, he will restore the tabernacle of David. The word tabernacle in the Hebrew means house or family. In the last days, God will restore the family of David, the Jewish people. And he says, when that occurs, we will have a great Gentile revival. But not just a great Gentile revival, because Amos then describes what he sees with his eyes. He doesn't understand it. But it is the greatest harvest of souls in the history of the world. That's what's at stake. The salvation of the world.
That's a big claim. But friends, when you read Scripture and you look at the end of the age, when you read Scripture and you consider everything that God has said would unfold, when you look at what's happening in the world around you, when you look at what's happening in the nations and in Israel, I don't think that's overstated as well. Oh, not the salvation of every human being that lives or ever lived, but a mass harvest of souls at the end of the age. This is what is at stake. You know, I'm looking at a report that came out last July, or July 2013, that was put out by the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. calculates that Christians sent out approximately 400,000 international missionaries in 2010, and nearly half the world's top missionary sending countries are now located in the global South. So thankfully, America still tops the chart. I say thankfully, not to put down other nations, but to say thankfully, we're still sending out many missionaries, and this is something that I'm sure brings joy to the heart of God. The number two, so we sent out 127,000 overseas missionaries, according to this report in 2010. Brazil, which is number two ranked, sent out 34,000. But other countries that are sending out missionaries include South Africa, Philippines, Mexico, China, Colombia, Nigeria, and ahead of those, South Korea and India. Wow. South Korea, India, or at least in this list of some of the top 10. Amazing. The gospel is spreading around the world. And at the same time, we see so many things coming together all at once. We see so many things coming together in terms of world pressure on Israel, in terms of the growing harvest among the Jewish people in Israel. I saw a note on Twitter last night, and I don't get to see most of what's posted or comes in, but I saw a note on Twitter, and the fellow was asking me in broken English, but then I saw also in Hebrew if I knew Hebrew. So I said, yeah, I can read it better than I can speak it. But yes. So anyway, he begins to thank me in Hebrew and just very, very kind words about the impact that my life has had. And then he wanted me to know that through, I'm just looking at it now. Yeah, he wrote it to me in Hebrew. Bizchutcha higati le'emunah yudita amitit b'yeshua ha-mashiach lamadati mimcha hamon. And he says it was through you that I came to the real true Jewish faith in Jesus the Messiah. He said, I learned a lot from you. And then he had a clip. He said his English is bad, but he had a link, and it was to our outreach TV show, The Real Messiah, that one of our team members, one of our extended team members, over weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of work, months of work overall, was able to take the script on all of these shows and to put Hebrew captions. That's how Israelis are used to watching things. They'll watch American TV or movies from other movies, TV from other parts of the world, and they're just used to reading the captions in Hebrew. And he watched that, and that's what greatly impacted him, and he came to faith in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. So we continue to reach out to him and encourage him. God's at work. Things really are happening around the world. And I want to encourage you to get hold of this package, which is really prophetic and stirring in nature. I wish I could hold this. I'll do it on the video. Can't do it now, but I'll hold this up and show it to you. It almost comes in a big box, like when you get a game or something like that. Open it up, and it's got one package in it that has a DVD and the Blu-ray disc for Let the Lion Roar, this documentary I've been telling you about. Then it has with it also a paperback book. We have also added in something. This is only available, this package, through our website, through our ministry. We've added in also interviews that we'll be doing with Derek Frank, the narrator on this documentary, with Paul Wilbur, with John Burness, with others. We'll be adding in CDs featuring their interviews as well. So it's a tremendous package. It's only $40 for everything, the DVD, the Blu-ray, the book, and the CD interviews. If you can help with a larger gift for our Jewish outreach and radio ministry, that'd be awesome. But take advantage of this. Right now, here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Can I give it to you once more? 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll be blessed by this. You will really be riveted as you watch. My bottom line today, bad news happening all around the world. Disaster, calamity, disease, sickness, upheaval. But God is moving. Let's focus on the amazing things our God is doing.